think sometimes we need to give them permission to laugh and play, mm-hmm. and not always be achieving and striving, because there's such a culture of excellence and accomplishment and success at Macaulay, which I think is a very positive thing. But it can be, if taken to an extreme, it can become a negative.
So many guys in chapel have given the talk where they're like, you know, I made this mistake, I failed, I struggled, and this is how I grew from it. And I think that's one of the secret kind of educational things that we do for guys, is we give them this thing that they recognize that no matter how I struggle or if I fail or if I make mistakes, those are just opportunities for me to learn and grow as a person.
I swear, the boys now are taller than they ever were 26 years ago. I go past them, maybe I'm getting shorter, but they are taller. And I don't know how that translates into athleticism, but it makes for a good crew.
One of the words we hear frequently around campus and in discussions with teachers and parents when talking about Macaulay students is resiliency. That word is probably overused, especially when discussing the COVID pandemic. But still, I think it's fitting for how Macaulay boys have held up. I'm Lee Burns, head of school at Macaulay, and in this edition of Stories from the Ridge, Kenny Scholl, assistant head of school, and I join three senior faculty members to discuss the topic of resiliency. But we go beyond that to a more general conversation about how Macaulay boys have changed, and how they haven't changed, over the past few years. This is typical of informal conversations Macaulay teachers and administrators have frequently, as we share our knowledge and perspective of boys and how they learn and grow. Hope you'll be able to detect in this conversation the love our faculty has for their students, past and present. Well, welcome and thanks for joining us. I'm here with Kenny Scholl, assistant head of school, and three others of our great faculty. In this room, we have over 152 years of experience in teaching boys. So I think that qualifies us to have a good discussion on how boys are doing in the third decade of this new millennium, and specifically how Macaulay boys are doing. So let me introduce, we probably don't need introductions, but I'll do it anyway. Chet LeSeward, graduate of the class of 1972, and an English teacher, department chair, dorm head, coach, you name it, Chet has done it here at Macaulay. Susie Howick has been director of the Learning Center for many years and counseled hundreds of Macaulay boys, as well as a biology teacher. And Josh Dietrich, or should I say Reverend Josh Dietrich, upper school chaplain, member of the counseling department, and drum roll please, head bowling coach.
Bowling coach. It's always fun to watch Dietrich do his thing in the lanes. It's great to be here with you. We have a wonderful group. And as Lee said, the experience goes far and wide in all areas of school life. There have been many books written over the last few years about boys and how they're learning and how they're faring in society, and not only in the United States, but even globally. And I would wager that those authors would cower, or maybe really appreciate the opportunity to speak with the expertise in this room. So it's great to have everyone here. Looking forward to talking about my favorite subject, the boys of Macaulay School.
Great. Well, speaking of boys, how are boys today doing in our society, and specifically Macaulay boys in particular, but how are boys doing today?
That's a really good question, Lee. And I think that when you think about the boys at Macaulay, I think the boys at Macaulay are thriving. I think they're doing really well. And I think that's because of a lot of the opportunities that the school provides for them to be able to grow, to develop, to think, to push themselves, to be honest, to just kind of have fun. And I think one of the things that we see at Macaulay with boys who are really thriving is just the relationships that they are able to have with one another and then also with the faculty here. And I think it creates a very, sacred community where guys are really able to interact and be themselves and grow in a safe and kind of encouraging environment. And that's how I see the boys at Macaulay, I think, doing really well. And I don't know that you can say that everywhere else. You know, I think that makes Macaulay unique and special in our culture and world today.
And what are some of the challenges that boys, not just at Macaulay, but around our society and around the world, what are the challenges they're facing today. I know how fortunate we are at McCauley, but still there are challenges here and elsewhere. What do you see as those challenges?
I think sometimes those challenges are sort of finding their place in the world. And I think McCauley does a great job of leading them in that direction. How do they fit in the world at large? I think at times, how do they relate with other boys? I think that is a huge part of it. How can they have boys that are friends? How can they find that friend group? How can they get that support group that they need that I don't always see out in the real world? I don't see a lot of the idea of brotherhood out in the real world. I see it here at McCauley, of course, but I just think that's one of those things that they learn, how they can lean on each other to be the best that they can.
And Chet, as you think about, you know, having been a dorm head for so many years and a teacher here, what do you see in sort of how boys are doing today?
Yeah, I think I'm surprised. I think we all, a year ago, had no clue. We said it over and over again, what this next year would bring. We know boys. We know that social interactions are critical. That's what they live off of. I think we wondered deeply what was going to happen to them without, you know, these social interactions. And I think we've all been surprised. Yes, it's still missing to a degree. Yes, if you, you know, talk to them at length, they'll still talk about the fact that they wish they had more. But they'll also be incredibly grateful that they've been able to get by with what they've had. They've had in-person classes. I mean, I think I'm surprised at how upbeat they are.
Yeah, you know, I think about it, and when I was their age, if someone had told me I wouldn't have to go to school for the whole spring semester, at least, even though I love school, I think I would have had a different attitude than these guys had, because they missed learning, I'm sure, but they missed all that goes with being at McCauley, all of their friends and being part of this community and being connected and being themselves. And I think we've, as a school, always done a good job. The culture has supported boys being truly genuine. I think they feel like they can be who they really are here. Mm-hmm. That's always a work in progress, but I think that is a continuing facet of the culture that has supported boys throughout all these generations.
Mm-hmm. You know, studies show that rates of anxiety and depression are significantly mm-hmm. up since the mm-hmm. pandemic began. And it seems to me that, you know, compared to the years I was at McCauley, there's a lot more pressure, higher expectations for students. They're busier and heavier workloads and so forth. And I'm curious if you see those things, and what are some strategies that educators and parents and others can do to make sure that that boys today can lead lives of balance and health and wellness?
I do think it's a time, especially for the group of boys in the last 10 or 15 years here. I don't know if I have any solutions, but I do feel like there is a higher anxiety, and I think that could be because they're in that college bubble where college, and they are intent on going, furthering their education. All these boys are intent on going on. And the anxiety that's come from making sure that they have what they need to go on to the colleges they want to go to. And so I find that anxiety has gone up some. But I do think, again, it's the relationships. You know, I watched them out in the quad, and that was, to me, the best thing. And I hope, even after this, all of those umbrellas stay up, all of those couches are out there, because I love watching them all out there joining the Adirondack chairs in a circle so they can see each other and talk to each other. And I still think that's it. I think it's that group dynamic that sort of helps you if you're having difficulty, or helps you if you're anxious, or those just to release, just to laugh. I love seeing them out there laughing and having serious discussions too. I don't know if they're life discussions, but they're, you know, they know they can lean on each other. They know they're there. So that has just been wonderful to me to see that out in our, that we've made that accommodation for them, because to me, I find it the very best.
Yeah. I think sometimes we need to give them permission to laugh and play mm-hmm. and not always be achieving and striving, because there's such a culture of excellence and accomplishment and success yeah. at McCauley, which I think is a very positive thing. But it can be, if taken to an extreme, it can become a negative.
I agree. And I think, you know, I think that's what I've noticed over the years, or when I first started at Macaulay, is that these boys want to do well. You know, they want to do what they have to do well. You're not totally motivating them. They know they want to do well. And so it's just presenting the support and the ways that they can do well. I just was always amazed when I first taught here and I taught in other schools. There was just that culture of, I want to persevere, I want to rise to the challenge, I want to just take it all in, I think. And I think that's one of the things that has never changed in all this time, the 26 years I've been to Macaulay. The curriculum may have changed and everything else, but you still have a group of boys that when you put something in front of them, they they generally want to learn it. Yeah, not always, but I don't feel like I have to dumb anything down. I don't feel like I have to do anything. They want to learn. It could be grade driven, but it's not always grade driven. I mean, you know, they just will do their homework. They will do what they need to do to persevere, to challenge themselves. And that is one thing I've noticed. They have a commitment to learning, I think.
But you know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Chet. But what I was gonna say, they are busier though. I happened onto a daily schedule. Chet, you might remember this from the fall of 1983. It was six periods, mm-hmm. and the typical class load for most of the students was four classes. Mm-hmm. And then so that made me dig a little deeper, and Lee probably graduated under this system too, where it was, you know, 4 years of English, 3 years of math, 2 years of foreign language, and then you could split up history and or science, and that was a diploma. Mm-hmm. And it's at least a third, if not more, as far as the credits required. So, you know, Chet, you saw that transition as well as I did.
I think the thing, and maybe to piggyback off all your comments, would be, if I just say one thing that I've noticed in the last 10, 20 years, 10, 15, mm-hmm. would be how much these boys want to do well. Mm-hmm. And it has a tricky little part to it. Mm-hmm. The tricky part would be that they want to do well, that grades that we would accept in the past, like to say B+, that's not a good grade anymore. And if particularly to the, you know, to the really talented kids, which of course we've got so many of, but their drive is just harder. In which of course, Lee, you said it, makes it more intense. You know, so we have to constantly almost go the other way. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think before we were always trying to encourage and check them out, but I think the pressure is internal. I don't think it's very often parents. Of course, it is some, but you know, most of it's just it's the grade that, you know, a B+ used to be fine. You know, it's not anymore. So we have to really be aware.
Yeah, I think definitely the academic pressure is really high nowadays. But I think also we see pressure in a number of different areas, especially with technology, social media. I mean, there's just this whole new wave of a lot of stuff that honestly we never really dealt with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never had to deal with my Instagram account or my Snapchat account or any of those things growing up, and what people thought of me on those things and how many followers I had. And so you see kids anxious because of that. And of course, the last year, I mean, the COVID situation has really put a lot of anxiety on boys. And so you see, you know, just so many different areas where guys are trying to work through. And the thing that's been encouraging, and I think maybe you guys have seen some of this too, but it's just how resilient the boys mm-hmm. have been. And the resiliency comes from the desire to be able to be together mm-hmm. and to spend time together and be in community, because I think they recognized after losing that for a little bit just how valuable mm-hmm. that really was.
You know, one of the things I think that really helps with our boys, hopefully leading lives more of balance and health and wellness, is as a school, you know, we're not just about academic excellence mm-hmm. and we're not just about performance. And Josh, you're talking about the pressures of social media, and a lot of that is about performing for your peers online, and not just for your peers, but for a worldwide audience. And so I think getting our boys to realize, hey, you can take your worth not simply from what you achieve, or not even primarily from that, but about your character, about your faith, about a relationship with God, about how you may love and serve others. And having a sort of broader picture and broader purpose in life, hopefully, is planting seeds and inclination to say, hey, the most important thing about me is not necessarily am I getting that, you know, A minus or A plus, am I getting into this particular college, am I winning this game? I mean, certainly they want to do those things. But there are other ways, broader, more healthy ways to define who you are as a young man. And I think we really promote that, yeah. Which I think can help.
That makes me think of the, I'm sorry, Susan.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it makes me think of the chapel talks.
Because, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, because when we...
The chapel talks.
When we first came here, you know, we had chapel every day. Mm-hmm. Now it's spread out a little more. We still have it very regularly, but very seldom did a student speak. It was mainly faculty members or invited guests, but now almost all of the chapel talks are seniors. And a lot of those talks are about what Lee just talked about their self-worth and the message they want to leave their peers and what they've gotten from each other. And there's always that, just that, you know, the central themes are always what friends mean to them, what relationships mean to them, and to try new things and to just be yourself. So
yeah.
I hope they feel that's an outlet for them. I hope they're still tapping into that here. Mm-hmm. I think they are, but it's a different kind of busy. Than they had in the past. Mm-hmm.
But I love that focus on, because I think about it all the time, and I don't even begin to have the answers. Success, confidence, self-worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so much the key. Gosh, that's the key to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just these kids. I mean, it's the key to all of us.
Yeah.
You know, so I love it when, you know, we all take a stab at it, because there are so many ways to go at it.
Right.
And these kids are somebody, no matter what your take is on any of those words, there's a kid that's boring into their soul and heart.
Well, you know, one of the things the culture has kept is that there's a lot of pressure on the guys to succeed and to do well and to get into the college of their choice or beyond, maybe beyond what they even dream. But the school still has such a foundation of support that it's like the boy that gave the chapel talk several years ago about Macaulay is a great place to fail. Mm-hmm. It's not something you put in your marketing materials, but his point was a good one in that I'm willing to try new things and it's okay if I fail because I realize I can pick myself up again. And so in that is where true confidence comes, not only in your successes, but knowing you can get through the hard times. And so providing that for these guys and this culture, I think, builds a foundation for them that, you know, that sustains them, I hope.
Yeah. I do too, and I think, Chuck, you can tell me you're in the English department, but being in the Learning Center, I read lots of papers to look at. And I'm so impressed with teachers asking at least once a semester or once a quarter or grading period, a reflective essay. You know, what does this, how can I dig into me to come up, I'm talking with my hands, how can I come up, you know, with me? It's self-reflection. How can I look at myself through this literature? But it's not, you know, it's not looking at the protagonist in the book, it's looking at me and how I'm comparing or what I'm taking away from all of that literature that I can use to be deeper, to be more reflective, to do those kinds of things. And I've been, that may not be true, that might not be, you're the English teacher and you know what essays you've assigned in all of these years, but I just see that. I enjoy that in psych, you know, just in psychology when I taught it, just let's let them reflect on themselves and their journey and those sorts of things. And I think that's just so important for your well-being.
It really is. And there's a lot of literature out there today that would suggest that boys are broken, they're hurting, they're threatened. I'm curious your take on that. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I think in some ways we're all kind of a little broken, and we're all trying to kind of figure things out, and we're all on our own journeys and trying to work through our identities and who we are and the ups and downs and experiences we've had and stuff like that. And I think for young people today, it's similar. You know, I've had situations in families and situations with friends, and they've had disappointments and failures, and those are all things that they're kind of moving through to try to figure out who they are. And, you know, Kenny was talking about confidence. Like, I think that's one of the things that Macaulay helps people to do, especially boys, is to find that place where you can be safe enough to go out there and take risks to build confidence. And then also to really discover who you are. And in many ways realize that, as you were saying earlier, that my intrinsic worth and value is something that's sacred and special outside of any of my accomplishments or the work that I do. And I think Macaulay does a really good job of helping boys to understand that foundational piece, that you have value and your uniqueness is a gift to our community, and who you are with all your experiences and even some of the baggage. Like, it can be a part of who you are, and you can grow from it. And so many guys in chapel have given the talk where they're like, you know, I made this mistake, I failed, I struggled, and this is how I grew from it. And I think that's one of the secret kind of educational things that we do for guys, is we give them this thing that they recognize, that no matter how I struggle or if I fail or if I make mistakes, those are just opportunities for me to learn and grow as a person. And I won't put those as marks and failures, but I'm going to put those as things that I can become a better man from.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's not too bad on social media.
As long as it's not too bad on social media.
You're responsible for what you post, right?
I think that's what Macaulay helps so much in being an all-boys school, quite honestly. I mean, because we are expecting of them what we would expect of boys. And I feel like sometimes the brokenness within other cultures or boys in other cultures is they don't feel they have a place. And I feel they have a place here, like you said, Josh. This is their community. This is who they are. This is who they're, we support them, we love them. And so they're not quite as broken maybe, but like you said, they have their challenges and those things. But we know that they have a special place in this community, and they will have a special place in this city, and they will have a special place in this state and in this country and in this world. And I feel like we act on that a lot here.
And talking about special place, I love that phrase. And one of the things that's different about Macaulay now than 20 or 25 years ago, we're a much more diverse school than we've been before. And we've spent a lot of time, in particular in the last year and a half or so, talking about how do we make sure that every single boy here has a special place here and is treated with love and dignity and respect and so forth. And I'm curious your take on sort of how we're doing, how the boys are responding to that, and how that makes us a different community than what we were 20, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think the boys are understanding. I mean, we're definitely not there yet, but I think they're understanding. I think they understand, and I think that's something when they know the faculty has undergone the faculty meetings we have. You know that we are intent, and we are trying so hard to be sensitive. I think that translates for them at this point, that this is something really serious. Look at the faculty, we're doing it, we're trying to sort of trickle it down to them as much as we can. So I thought about that, you know, because I think we've always probably as the faculty be intent, but we are more intentional, I think, now, more sensitive, more knowledgeable. I think that's the big thing that has gone on. So that's what I think.
You know, I think though that I agree, Susie, but one of the things that I think's helped us over the years as we as a school have become more diverse, we all know, and we learned in one of our sessions that interactions and bumping into each other and developing relationships with all kinds of different people, that's the secret sauce that breaks down barriers, and it's really always been Macaulay's secret sauce anyway. So, you know, you put these boys in this environment and the stereotypes start melting away, and they become friends with all kinds of different people, and we owe them that. I think we really do. And then I think we need to put them in an environment where they can feel comfortable talking about things and not be so afraid to say just the wrong thing or just the right thing. probably a better way to phrase it. So I think we've made great strides there. And I'm with you. I think they appreciate what the faculty's doing, but you know, they like each other, mm-hmm. and they kind of work through it themselves. And you know, they need, you know, like any of us, they need the opportunity to sort some things out over time. But you know, I mean, I heard one faculty member say the other day, you know, it's not a big deal to them. They just like each other.
You are listening to Stories from the Ridge, a podcast series from the Macaulay School. I'm Lee Burns, head of school. We'll return to our discussion with Kenny Scholl, Chet LeSeward, Susie Howick, and Josh Dietrich in a moment. But first, I want to invite you to share your thoughts with us about this podcast or any of the other podcasts in this growing series. Just send us a note to info@macaulay.org. I want to invite all of you, alumni, parents, and friends, to join us on April 21st for the Big Blue Day of Gratitude, our annual day of giving for Macaulay. Your gifts help support great teachers like Chet, Susie, and Josh, and help us recruit and train great teachers for future generations. This year, if 250 alumni make a donation on April 21st, you'll unlock a $50,000 challenge grant. So save the date for celebrating faculty, friends, and all things Macaulay. Use the hashtag BigBlueGratitude and get more information at macaulay.org/giving. We'd also love to hear your suggestions for future podcasts. And of course, we encourage you to share these podcasts with friends and family. Spread the word. Now let's return to our discussion on the resiliency of boys.
I kept thinking, I think these kids are nicer. Yeah. They've always been nice. I mean, come on. We've always had fabulous kids here. But I mean, if you could point to one thing, I think it might be, I mean, I've heard faculty say that over and over again. These kids are so nice, mm-hmm. you know? And of course I go back to Yo, you know, and we'd make fun. You know, of Yo's yearly, he'd get up there and say, you know, the kids just keep getting better and better but it's true. I mean, we'd say that about him. And we kind of roll our eyes and go, that's a Yo thing. But I think it's totally true. I'm amazed. I mean, even today I had a kid who just was grateful for something. He brought me all these masks, you know. I mean, that was an incredible gift. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing that. They're kind. They're saying, yeah. you know, they're yeah. just really enjoying so many of us. I mean, it's really pretty cool.
I think it's thought. They're thoughtful.
Thoughtful.
And they always have been, but mm-hmm. in a different way. Mm-hmm. And they're sensitive. They're not afraid to be sensitive about things. That's different, too.
Yeah.
But it is different. But I will say, this is ties into the pandemic a little bit and what Lee was talking about. I experienced this earlier today. I guess I can say this on the radio, but I was in the restroom, and we have these signs in there telling us, you know, kind of where to go. And these signs have been up all year, and not a single one has been moved. Not a single one has been written on. Mm-hmm. Not a single one has been. I thought, what other school could you mm-hmm. could you have that kind of thing and it not be impacted at all? I just thought, what a tribute to these kids. It's a silly one, maybe, but yeah. They get it, and they you know, they understand. So yeah, it's.
I mean, it used to be a crazy trip just to go into again a urinal and just look at what was written on. I mean, that in itself.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
Yeah, maybe social media is taking over for that.
Maybe.
Speaking of the pandemic, what, for another minute or two, what strengths has the pandemic exposed at Macaulay?
I think that one of the things that I've seen, especially with the current boys at Macaulay, is, you know, that sense of community and coming together. Like I said before, I think they really value that. And so, even when you talk about diversity and people coming from with different worldviews and different belief systems and different cultures from all over the place, I think the boys today are much more willing to say, hey, I don't know that we're going to agree on everything, but I will walk with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, that's something I've said to boys, and I really think that that's a powerful thing when guys are willing to be, it's something that's missing in our world and culture today. Is this idea of like, hey, we may not agree on anything, but man, I will be by your side mm-hmm. through thick and thin, whatever you're going to go through. And I see that a lot in the boys nowadays. And I think that has been one of the things that has really allowed them to persevere this year, is because they're COVID is the big thing, and they're like, you know what, we're gonna walk through this together. And that's really, it's been a blessing for me to see. Mm-hmm. So
just on a silly kind of personal note, I think one thing, the boys in my class, it's sort of given them a responsibility, because they know so much more about technology than I do, and they are always willing to help me. So they have a real place in my classroom, and a real specific job is to help me with Zoom, and help me with the whiteboards, and help me with all the things that I need to teach them. So I think, I know it's silly, but it's been wonderful. They helped me today, you know, and I feel like that gives them a purpose. You know, it's just not me imparting all this information. I'm learning from them, and it's been wonderful. So I like that.
I got to confess that I cheated today. cheated in the sense I knew this was happening. Mm-hmm. So I asked, you know, my students, you know, mm-hmm. just, okay, so what's been a benefit of COVID? And they're really talking last spring, so maybe not so much this year, but half of them, it really kind of stunned me, said that they really tried something different. Mm-hmm. And I went, I would have thought more gaming, more mm-hmm. something. No, they tried a hobby, they picked up something like a guitar, they did stuff like that. And so that surprised me.
Yeah. What about, if you think about McCauley boys now versus, say, 15 years ago, are they more athletic or less athletic?
I don't know about that, but they're taller. I swear, the boys now are taller than they ever were 26 years ago. I go past them, maybe I'm getting shorter, but they are taller. And I don't know how that translates into athleticism, but it makes for a good crew. On the crew, you know. That, I noticed that every time I walk the quad. Gosh, we have a lot of tall boys.
Yeah, I think early on, it's hard. That's a hard question.
Yeah,
I mean,
is.
I think of like B.J. Coleman and Michael Bingham, and like you start going down the list, and we've had some really athletic guys historically come through McCauley. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what? I also think this too, though. I think so many of the boys are athletic. Now, they may not be on an athletic team, but they are out there playing frisbee. They are out there kicking a soccer ball. They are athletic. You know, so many of them want to do something muscular, I guess.
One of the things I've noticed is that there's so much more specialization now mm-hmm. than there was 10 or 15 years ago, where there are far fewer three-sport athletes mm-hmm. than there used to be. And if you want to, you know, have a place on a team and thrive and so forth, there's a really, you know, expectation, or in many cases, you've got to really just focus in on that sport from a very young age. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but that's sort of the reality of where mm-hmm. we are right now. There's certainly more training and lifting and a whole lot more that we do with, you know, nutrition and sleep and monitoring and encouraging those types of things. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, you know, science, you know, behind it, more so than just, hey, show up for the practice and game, and that's kind of mm-hmm. it. So I think that's a change. What about compared to 10 or 15 years ago? Are they more politically involved and politically attuned, or less so?
Mm. I think what we were talking about earlier is I think they're very, 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 they're very political, but they're nicer about
they're
it.
They're nicer about it.
If I go back 15 or 20 years, and I won't say any names, but you guys are out there listening, so you know who you are. But there was definitely some boys who were very opinionated in my first 5 or 10 years here, and they had no problem telling you exactly what they thought. And I'm sure, Kenny, you've got some really good stories on, because you're the one they probably came to. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you, in the 80s, it was pretty clear where the majority was, and now I'll just assume everyone knows what I'm saying there. And, but over time, I've sensed that's balanced quite a bit mm-hmm. because I think they're more informed because it's, for one thing, it's easier to get the information. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, if you're not getting it from fake news or whatever, yeah. But you know, the sources are there, and I think they, you know, I think they're thoughtful about it. But I think they are willing to listen to other opinions, and I think they're willing to think about things, and so it makes me hopeful for the future if you know, mm-hmm.
and that's really
other young people are doing this as well,
and that's really something that's unique, I think, to McCauley.
Yeah,
I think
is.
If you go out into the culture and the world around us, people aren't as nice, and they don't listen as well, But there's something about the McCauley community that there's this underlying fostering, if you want to say, where we're trying to encourage boys to listen and to be able to have those conversations.
Go ahead, Jen.
I think they're more accepting. I do think that. But on the other hand, I'm still sitting there thinking about kids in class, and obviously through the recent political season we just had. I mean, they're kids who disagree, and they will be really out there. And it made me think, I'm just going to throw this tangent, and I'll get back. Can't want to hear what you have to say in a second, but I think one of the big differences between 10, 20 years ago is the kids who would get in 15, 20 years ago might not get in now. And I always sit and think that, you know, there's always something a little bit lost, because I remember those kids who used to be kind of the last ones picked. And Steve Hearn would talk about them, and some of those kids would be our greatest supporters and the greatest alums. You know, so we miss out on that a little bit. We miss out sometimes on the discordant voices, sometimes, who are, you know, because everybody's nice and everybody's kind and decent. It's fabulous. But you know, we need those. We need every kind of voice, I think, here for us to really grow.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. When Lee asked the question about being more athletic, they probably are, just from a percentage standpoint, because we have more boys now in athletics than we have probably at any other time, because we have so many more sports and the school's larger. And when you walk through the campus, you see them playing all kinds of different games and that they've made up, or they've, you know, they're throwing a frisbee around, or they're, you know, whatever. I mean, there are so many neat places to play on campus now, and they find ways to do it. Wall ball is still played in all its different versions with the middle school, and I guarantee the seniors will pick it up here before too long, as is their tradition. But what's a little different is that, I think, they're probably just not as rambunctious, you know. They don't tear things up as much as they used to. Because we used to put things up, and you know, I've talked about the road reflectors we had out there, and they lasted an hour because everybody wanted one, and they pulled them off the road. But so they're rambunctious in a different way. But by the same token, there aren't many days where one of us doesn't say, "Son, what were you thinking?" I mean, they're still doing that, which I find refreshing. So I'm glad that phrase is still out there, or question rather. What are you thinking?
So what does it mean to be a McCauley man?
I think that this is, well, that's a really good question again. Mm-hmm. I think that the first thing I would say is that it may be different for every boy. I think that each boy individually is going to take different parts of the McCauley experience and make it his own. And you might have the kid, like Chet was saying, who was kind of the last one picked. And I can tell you who those guys are on the senior volleyball team, because they're picked last every single time. But they, you know, those guys might have a different experience than the kid who's in the theater, or the kid who's on the football team, or the baseball team, or the kid who's taking all the AP classes and trying to get into Princeton. You know, like, and they would say different things, but I still think, I've been listening to chapel talks and reading these chapel talks for a long time, and the constant theme is brotherhood. Mm-hmm. The constant theme. I mean, I can't, and to the point that sometimes I have to say, well, we've kind of already had that. You need to come at it from a little bit of a different angle. And it's like, you know, the guys here and the relationships and the brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, that's what I would say. And like I said, it might be different for other people, but that's a theme, a general theme, with, I think, a lot of unique angles attached to it, depending on who the boy is.
I think my definition of McCauley man changes every day, a little bit. But today, what is it? I think it's transparency, and some honesty. That a kid will sit there and own up. That a kid will be real. That a kid will kind of, you know, just kind of acknowledge something or trust the people around him in his community, but far more importantly, that he'll pick himself back up, which he can't do by himself. He needs us. And I think that, to me, I'm now looking at I think I preached that more than anything else. Just, you're going to fail. We know you're going to fail. You're going to screw up. We used to say, Bob Bailey used to always say, Kenny, you remember this, that every single kid needed to appear in front of the discipline committee. It was something that every kid needed that experience. And I'm sitting there, so we know kids fail. We fail all the time. They fail. But it's what happens when they pick themselves up and really lean on and kind of trust each other and let other people help them. That, to me, is a good definition.
I think that transparency and vulnerability and authenticity don't come naturally to teenage boys. And there's a sense of I've got to be strong and successful and just have it all put together and so forth. And so I think that's one of the great things that Macaulay does so well, is to be such a safe place for boys, as you say, to make mistakes, but also to be vulnerable and say, I need help. I made a mistake here. I don't understand this. I was wrong about this. I'm sorry. Here's what's really on my mind and heart. Here's who I am. And so I think that happens, and that's such a beautiful thing when it happens. And I think it happens so often here, and we shouldn't take for granted, because that's not the natural wiring of teenage boys to be able to do that well.
Even for them to ask for help academically. We all know that. It's really tough for these kids.
I think the theme in being a Macaulay man, I think always been here. Maybe a little more intentional now. And one quick note about your comment about the discipline committee. It would have been refreshing to have every boy in D.C. rather than the same few every week after week after week.
Very true.
Having said that, I think it's this idea of servanthood that I've always seen here. I've seen it exhibited. I've always sensed it. But these guys, well beyond their years, and we, you know, I talk about underdeveloped frontal lobe all the time, and they don't, their frontal lobe isn't developed yet. That's just physiological. But they understand that the most important thing in life, or one of the most important things in life, is to put others before yourself. And that just I keep seeing that in generation after generation of Macaulay boys. So to me, you know, that's a Macaulay man. All the other things that you all mentioned, but that, you know, I'm going to do my best to put others before me. And so you don't have guys fight and grade grub here. Mm-hmm. They really don't do that, and never really have.
One thing that has been common is the good ribbing and the sarcasm.
Yes, oh, yeah. I know.
100%. Like, that has not gone away. It was here when I started, and it's still here today.
It's well-meaning.
it's Macaulay's love language.
It's Macaulay's love language. I understand that.
We understand it. I'm still waiting on that compliment of an ensemble I will put together on a given day. And it's always sarcasm. Funny. Oh, that looks really good.
Yeah. I know it is. I know. I don't know. I have a hard time with that. Unfortunately, I kind of go on the other direction. Like, what a Macaulay man isn't, you know, and what. Mm-hmm. That way. I know you're always supposed to think in the positive, but sometimes I think about that, what he isn't, and he isn't someone who prejudges, he isn't someone, you know, and I don't know how to put that in the positive, but I do think that's one of the things we think about too, you know. He's not so stoic, you know, he is vulnerable, so I know I shouldn't put it in the negatives, but I sort of think about it that way too.
Yeah.
As we're wading through the sarcasm, which we all know,
yes.
And which we all love, which we all do, we all comes
thanks,
out of our
Jeff.
Mouths.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
You look really good today. There's an example. But you know, it's funny, all that stuff, and then you throw down, you know, something, I mean, a phrase I love, which is, you know, be kind to people you meet, because everybody's in the midst of a great battle. And you just don't know what it is, you know? But then that lasts for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're back.
I know.
Which is good.
They still drive the big trucks. They take the speed humps as hard as we'll let them do it. And that's great. And, you know, sometimes we have to encourage them to come up with pranks every once in a while. and then they get real creative. They just have to be sure it's okay.
Right.
They put a lot into that. So they're thoughtful in that way.
Yes.
But
and I don't know if I can say this. But
you will.
But I will. They still really don't like Baylor.
Yeah. They don't. That has not changed at all.
At all.
In a very empathetic way.
Yeah. In a very Susie empathetic is. Way. Yeah. Well, they don't, yes.
McCauley,
we can empathize about when the team that never wins a football game.
Exactly.
Well, McCauley is still a school of great spirit. Yes. Boys have a great adventure here. Mm-hmm. There's authenticity, empathy, of course, honor, truth, and duty. And so I think the things that are enduring about McCauley, those things are still here. You know, even as boys, I think, expand their sense of what it means to be a McCauley man, as they develop more diverse friendships and relationships and learn how to better connect with and display respect and dignity for others who are different, because mm-hmm. it's coming from a place of good hearts and good intentions
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Here. And so it's really nice to see that, you know, that balance between, you know, tradition and the enduring values, and then also how we live them out in authentic mm-hmm. ways in today's world. And I think we're pursuing that, and I think generally doing that really well. And it's just such a special place to be, a fun place, and it's fun and real blessing to get to serve with the four of you. And we're glad for those of you who tuned in today. And if you have feedback or you have ideas for other podcasts, please email us at info@macaulay.org.